From NPR and WBUR, I'm Peter O'Dowd.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. And today, President Trump announced he's terminating the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, and renaming it the United States-Mexico Trade Agreement while he works on what to do about Canada, the third prong of NAFTA. The president spoke as eyebrows raised over his lack of comment on the passing of Senator John McCain on Saturday. The former prisoner of war and longtime senator died the same date on which his political opponent and friend Ted Kennedy died, and of the same disease, brain cancer. An incredible note at the end of his extraordinary life. And we start with a look at how history might view that life and his role in this moment in history. There will be a service for John McCain at the National Cathedral in Washington on Saturday, but the family has asked President Trump not to attend.
And today at the White House, the American flag flying at full staff. It was at half staff yesterday. The up and down, perhaps a powerful symbol of the split between President Trump and Senator McCain's vision for America. Let's look at Senator McCain's place in history with Julian Zelizer. He's professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Julian, it's good as always to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Look, there are few people left in Washington, maybe nobody, who comes with the background and the experience that John McCain had. How are you measuring his loss today?
Yeah, it's a sad moment in American politics for sure. This is someone who committed himself to public service, both through the military and through Congress, someone who believed in the value of government and governance, and someone who, even though many disagreed with his policy views and someone who could be quite partisan in his politics, attracted many friends and sympathetic colleagues on the other side of the aisle. So this is obviously a loss.
Well, it's interesting also how John McCain was seen through different lenses over the years. I mean, at times, you know, he, as you said, he was seen as a hawk. There, and now he's the maverick, you know, who's taking on those more conservative than him and his party. There was the moment when he was, in a presidential campaign during the 2000 presidential primary against George W. Bush. McCain flipped on the issue of the Confederate flag flying over the Capitol of the South Carolina State House, went from calling it a symbol of racism and slavery to a symbol of heritage and saying it was a state issue to saying it should be taken down. After he lost the primary, he said this: "I feared if I answered honestly, I could not win the South Carolina primary, so I chose to compromise my principles. I broke my promise to always tell the truth." So talk a little bit about that, the man addressing his flaws.
Well, first, let's just remember he was a conservative Republican, and I think he had moments of being a maverick, but he was pretty much a product of the Reagan Revolution. And I think he himself would probably characterize a lot of his policy decisions that way. He did acknowledge these mistakes. Another moment he regretted was picking Sarah Palin in 2008. And I don't think this will ever be resolved. It's a complicated part of his legacy. He was very much at the center of a party that moved sharply to the right and which opened the doors to some of the elements that made up the Trump coalition. And I always think of that 2008 moment as pretty pivotal in addition to the South Carolina comments. He did apologize for things and he did admit his mistakes. But I think as a politician, you do have to live with those decisions at moments like these. Well, and that's part of what we'll remember him for.
Just a little follow-up there. This idea of Sarah Palin as his running mate, from the reports that we had and when we talked about it at the time, he was bowing to pressure from those within the party. It feels as if maybe a decision was made after that not to bow to pressure again.
Yeah. Well, this is a little like his story with campaign finance. He got caught up in a scandal in the late 80s and then, you know, was resigned never to do that again and became a campaign finance reformer. But these are big decisions. When you run for president and you accept that pressure and she's your running mate and everything that came with it happens, you can't walk away from it. And I think that was part of his frustration in recent years. He understood where the party was going, and he even understood his own role in building that party.
Julian, yeah. What was his legislative legacy? You mentioned campaign finance reform on the issue of immigration. Of course, he was from Arizona, a border state. There were times when he worked very hard to try to figure out comprehensive immigration reform. In 2010, he was famously said, "Build that dang fence," when he was given a hard right primary challenge. What would you say John McCain's chief legacy was in the Senate.
Well, on national security, he was certainly part of the coalition that since the 80s and after 9/11 built for supported a pretty robust expansion of the military and the aggressive use of military force. And he's part of that. He was a key part of the vote. He was a key part of the coalition that articulated that vision, even in very controversial fashion with Iraq, for example. Another one important accomplishment is his opposition to what was called enhanced interrogation, meaning torture. He did stand against the Bush administration when it was discovered that this was being used, and he pushed for legislation to bring this to an end. So I think that's another important part of his legacy. And obviously, the repeal and replace legislation recently, which he gave a thumbs down to, is part of his record.
He's saving Obamacare, even though he voted against the Affordable Care Act. But talk a bit about him opposing torture, of course, because he'd been tortured for 5 years. And here he is, the son of two admirals. I mean, you know, his grandfather and his father. And he goes into politics with this story. I mean, you couldn't make this up, you know, that he had this incredible storyline behind him. Look in history. Is there another character in history that, you know, came to Washington with that kind of a story?
Well, sure. I mean, even someone like George H.W. Bush, his own record in war influenced how he handled the dissolution of the Soviet Union and the risks that emerged. This was even more clear cut. I mean, here is someone who went through a brutal experience and then faced this, you know, later in his career when the United States was engaged in a kind of behavior that really disturbed him. But often politicians bring their history to bear, and this is a great example.
Well, but that brings us to, you know, what a lot of people, again, we said raised eyebrows, his relationship with Donald Trump, who on the campaign trail dared to say, he's not a hero, I don't, you know, he was captured. And then that has built to what we're seeing now. The president, we're told, someone in his staff wanted to release a statement when McCain passed, talking about McCain's career, and Donald Trump overrode that, and the president said, I'm just going to send out a tweet in which he spoke of the family but not of McCain's life. And he is not going to the funeral.
The flags, I think, on the White House are important points to point out, too.
The flags were lowered on Saturday night, but then were the only flags in Washington that were raised. Where do you put that relationship in history?
Well, this is as petty as you can imagine. This is petty politics from the White House. And, you know, the president has, both as candidate and president, just repeatedly lashed out against McCain in really ugly ways, you know, first mocking him in some ways for what happened in Vietnam, and now doing this. And it's one of those unbelievable moments in the Trump presidency where he lets that part of his personality govern what he does as commander in chief. And that's exactly what, you know, rubbed late Senator McCain the wrong way. And the reason, I'm sure, that, you know, he didn't really want him as part of his funeral and memorial. But it reveals a lot about President Trump, that this is what he decides to do when the rest of the country and much of the world is mourning, and mourning someone they don't always agree with. But this is what the president did.
I want to point out something. I am an Arizona native. I grew up following John McCain as a citizen, but also as a journalist working there. I mean, I followed his career for a long time now. And you know, coming from Arizona, there are two names. There's Barry Goldwater and there's John McCain. You know, when you're talking about politics, those are the two names that come up over and over and over again. Julian, what is left of the Republican Party that John McCain belonged to? And this legacy that goes back a long way in Arizona politics.
Well, in terms of policy, the notion now that McCain is a bit to the center or moderate, that says a lot. I mean, we've moved far from when Barry Goldwater in 64 was considered an extremist to when Senator McCain was considered a pretty staunch Republican to where the GOP is today. It's so far right on many issues that McCain was what the center had become. And that says a lot about the rightward shift. And then the style of politics is so different. I mean, whatever his policies were, McCain really believed in governance at a certain level and trying to make institutions work. That's not where his party is. So that party is very different.
Well, Julian, we want to end with some words from John McCain. This is a speech in the Senate chamber last July 25th after he'd returned after being diagnosed with brain cancer. Let's listen.
I'm going home for a while to treat my illness. I have every intention of returning here and giving many of you cause to regret all the nice things you said about me. And I hope to impress on you again that it is an honor to serve the American people in your company. Thank you, fellow senators. Mr. President, I yield the floor.
I yield the floor.